Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahida.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to another episode of Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Today's case was actually a requested one, and we will admit we took some time to cover it, so we're so sorry we weren't as organized with the requests coming in. Mm-hmm. I think like there was like a period of time where it's just like request after request after request, so it was just really hard to keep
them
all.
Weren't used to like getting requests, right. And then out of nowhere we got a lot. Boom. And it's like, oh
yeah, which is cool though, it's cool, keep them coming.
Yes.
So anyway, sorry, like it took a while, you know, with the full-time jobs and it just gets, life gets busy, but we're here.
yeah, it gets really busy, and then like spending time with family, social lives, like I don't know, give us any tips, like how do you all do it?
I like picture us like being jugglers. Yeah. but yeah, we did get more organized with the behind the scenes podcast stuff because, you know, as we announced a few episodes back, I am pregnant. So yeah, pretty soon little dude's gonna be here. So we are trying to prepare as much as we can for his arrival. So that way we don't leave you all hanging.
Yeah, so nothing really changes for y'all. But behind the scenes, we are working overtime.
Yeah, we're gonna like twice as hard now.
But yeah, the case is a little late, but it's here, so you know,
let's do it. So today we will be talking about the 2015 Manson murders in Washington, D.C., which include the Savopoulos family members Savas, Amy, and Philip, along with their housekeeper Vera Figueroa.
And so before we start, we would like to give you all a heads up because we will be talking about sensitive topics.
Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles y también para recordarles que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. So now, let's begin this case.
Este caso tomó lugar en Washington, D.C., in a very wealthy neighborhood, in a home worth $4 million.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a whole mansion and surrounded by more mansions. So just to picture that, mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of neighborhood.
And so the Savopoulos family included 46-year-old Savas, 47-year-old Amy, 10-year-old Philip, and two teenage girls who were actually away at boarding school during this time. But they, you know, just a little fun fact, they weren't attending the same boarding school. Like, they each went to their own.
Mm-hmm. And a little backstory, Savas and Amy se conocieron en la escuela, high school, and they went to the same college, but dated until the end of college. And everyone describes them as a very happy couple.
Mm-hmm. And Savas is actually the CEO of the American Iron Works, Inc. So, you know, it's like for big projects like the Pentagon, you know, which is the United States Department of Defense. So it was like a big money kind of job for them to be living in a $4 million home.
Yeah.
You know, by good money.
Yeah, very well off. And so, you know, the daughters were away for boarding school. And Philip was the one that was living with his parents, and he did have some hobbies. One of them was go-karting, and he traveled to compete at just 10 years old. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, fun and crazy activity for a 10-year-old.
Like, apenas 10 años, and, oh, yeah, my hobbies, you know, go-karting. Like, what?
Yeah.
And at the time, the Vice President Joe Biden was actually the neighbor that lived a mile away from them. So, también eso enseña más cómo eran una, you know, wealthy family, mm-hmm. like to be living next to Joe Biden. And, you know, the families made donations and they were liked for their kindness and generosity.
Mm-hmm. And they also had a housekeeper, Vera Figueroa, who was originally from El Salvador, and she was married and had three children of her own. Ella ya tenía trabajando con esa familia por 5 años, pero ella quería retirarse y poder volver a Salvador algún día.
Mm-hmm. And on May 13th of 2015, Philip no fue a la escuela porque estaba enfermo. Savas estaba en Virginia haciendo cosas de negocios. I think he was actually in the process of opening up a martial arts business, which is pretty cool, when he suddenly got a call from his wife, Amy, at around 4:45 p.m.
Mm-hmm. No pudimos encontrar lo que hablaron en esa llamada, but Sebas made his way back home, which was only a drive away. I think it was between an hour and an hour and a half. And cuando él llegó a casa, se dio cuenta que su esposa, Amy, hijo Philip, y la housekeeper, Vera, estaban capturados.
It must be really scary to just show up to that scene, you know? Mm-hmm. Y entonces cuando Sebas entró a su casa, él fue atacado. Y pudieron averiguar esto por la sangre en la entrada de la casa. Like, ya cuando los investigadores empezaron a ver todo.
Mm-hmm. Entonces, como que no tuvo chance de poder hacer algo, ¿verdad? Mm-hmm. Se dio cuenta que su familia estaba capturada en el momento que él entró y no pudo hacer nada.
Mm-hmm. Which I feel like would be very scary. You're confused, no sabes lo que estás pasando, entras por la puerta y con lo que te reciben es con un golpe, like te atacan. Mm-hmm. It's very scary.
It's not what you expect when you go
especially
home.
Especially in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Entonces, como a las 8:30 de la noche, Sebas le llamó a Jordan Wallace, una persona que era su empleado y le hacía trabajos, pero no le contestó y entonces él le dejó un mensaje diciéndole que en la mañana si él podía ir a su trabajo a recoger un paquete. También le llamó a la compañía de seguridad para preguntar cómo podía tener acceso a esos videos.
Y a las 9:14, Amy llamó a Domino's para ordenar dos pizzas y les dio instrucciones específicas. Les dijo que dejaran la pizza en la entrada y que no iba a poder recibirlas personalmente porque ella estaba cuidando a un niño enfermo. And so she just left the tip in the envelope.
Mm-hmm. El trabajador de Domino's entregó la pizza así como dijo las instrucciones. Él dijo que cuando llegó, las luces estaban apagadas y que nomás la luz de enfrente estaba prendida.
Mm-hmm. Y a las 9:30, Sebas le dejó un mensaje a Nelly, who was the second housekeeper, saying that Amy estaba muy enferma and that Vera was sleeping over para ayudar. Pero esto era muy extraño porque ellas nunca se quedaban. Like, the housekeepers were just there during the day, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, leave, you know, at the nighttime. So it was just a bit out of character for her.
Yeah, eso nunca había pasado antes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Amy had been sick before, years prior. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, so it was very odd.
Yeah.
Entonces, al otro día en la mañana, a las 7 de la mañana, Sebas called Jordan Wallace about that package that he called the night before. And then he made another call to the CFO to request $40,000 cash. And Sebas was claiming that it was for an equipment auction. And el CFO dijo que esto era no era normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pero él dijo que Sebas se escuchaba normal.
And it's also like, to us, you know, calling someone and saying like, hey, can I get $40,000? That's a lot of money, but
to them,
it's probably like equivalent to maybe like $500 or something like that, you know? It's really interesting. But yeah, Jordan then met him to pick up the money. Y casi como a las 10 de la mañana, Amy le mandó un mensaje a Nelly para decirle, once again, you know, que no la necesitaba en la casa. You know, that she just didn't have to show up today.
Yeah, I think, don't you think it's odd? Like,
2 days in a row?
Yeah, it's like, quiere asegurar que no vaya a la casa.
Uh-huh.
Like this person inside the house.
Yeah.
You know, who has control.
I mean, also, like, you know, going, like, trying not to think that it's not normal. Like, Amy is kind of like the boss. And, you know, like, maybe she's the cool boss that lets them know, like, hey, today, no, thank you. I don't need your service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what Nelly thought.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just like, oh, she's being nice enough to not make me do the trip.
Yeah.
You know?
Who like, knows? Making sure.
Yeah.
Like, did you get my last message?
Right, yeah.
You don't need to come.
Exactly.
Yeah. Entonces, a las 10:15 de la mañana, Sebas le mandó un mensaje a Jordan y le dijo que deje el dinero adentro de su coche. That was inside the garage. También le dijo que no vaya a tocar la puerta porque él estaba en una junta.
So again, though, very, like, precise, very specific on do not disturb, you know? So, yeah. Y el esposo de Vera y su hija fueron a buscarla a la casa de los Savopoulos, pero nadie les abrió la puerta. Sí dijo que escuchó ruido adentro, pero, you know, again, like, no one tries to think of the worst scenarios right off the bat.
Y a unos minutos, Sebas le llamó al esposo de Vera y le pidió perdón porque Vera se fue al hospital con Amy y se estaba disculpando por no haberle dicho antes. Mm-hmm. Y que también luego le iba a hablar para decirle a cuál hospital se fueron.
Mm-hmm. But as we can all guess, Savas never made the call. Y a las 10:30, Jordan le mandó un mensaje a Savas y le dijo que le dejó el dinero donde él había dicho, which was in the car, inside the garage. Y como a las 12, los vecinos dijeron que vieron a un señor entrar al garage. And, you know, they describe it as a man and not as Savas. Mm-hmm. I feel like as a neighbor, you would kind of know that's my neighbor, you know? Yeah. And so around 1:20 p.m., un señor en la área vio que la casa se estaba quemando.
Mm-hmm. Cuando llegaron los bomberos y apagaron la lumbre, encontraron a Savas, Amy, Philip, y Vera muertos.
They knew it was a homicide because it was very clear from, like, the marks and bruises on their bodies that they had clearly been tortured. Like, they were bound, beaten, and suffocated, and ultimately they were set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good.
Yeah. And también vieron que the phone lines were cut, and they also, you know, took note that los adultos estaban en una habitación y Philip estaba en su cuarto.
I just feel like it was very brutal, mm-hmm. like everything that was going on in the house, you know? Y los investigadores dicen que es probable que los separaron so that they can use the child for extortion, you know, in case something went wrong with this person's plan.
Yeah, like, you know, like, esta persona estaba pidiendo dinero,
mm-hmm.
y si tienen al niño en otro cuarto, es más fácil,
mm-hmm.
hablar con los adultos en otro cuarto, pedirles más cosas, and have them do as
like
they want.
In exchange for the child, yeah. type of thing, yeah.
So I think that's mentally torture, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's your child in the other room.
Yeah.
So from our research, we found that Philip was stabbed to death and that Vera was attacked. But there was some evidence of her trying to fight back, like, mm-hmm. on a bat, I think.
Yeah. Y no tenían sus celulares y el carro de Amy no estaba en la casa. Pero luego encontraron el carro de ella en Maryland. And again, it was in flames. It was actually in a church parking lot. And that gave them their first clue. A surveillance video of a man all dressed in black running away from the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And that's when the nationwide manhunt began. Y a unos pocos días pudieron identificar quién era responsable. There was DNA on a slice of pizza, and it matched to a former employee named Darren Wint of 37 years old, who had worked for the company from 2003 to 2005, but had been fired.
También encontraron su pelo en una de las habitaciones donde estaban las víctimas y también su ADN was also found in a knife that was found in the basement. So this dude, you know, his DNA pues was all over the place.
Yeah. And a little more about him, he was a U.S. Marine Corps recruit, but he was discharged after his training because of medical reasons, but we didn't find exactly why.
Yeah. And we did find, though, that he did have a criminal record, which is why the DNA that was found in the scene was able to be matched back to him. And, you know, because otherwise, like, if he hadn't been in the system, then there wouldn't have been a match. And so, yeah, so 7 days after, you know, this whole, like, discovery, he was arrested. And when they found him, he had $7,000, which, you know, it's pretty a good amount of money. And he told his family that he had won it from the lottery.
Yeah, which I think it also leaves us with the question, where's the rest of the money? Because he got $40,000.
That's true, yeah.
What did he do with all that money?
Unless he was, like, slowly trying to bring it up, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
Poquito a poquito, like, integrated into his life, I don't know.
Yeah, or, yeah.
You know?
Because I don't know what you could spend it on that fast.
No, yeah. He had to, like, well, I would think he would have to, like,
yeah.
stash it somewhere and then, like, slowly bring it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because it's más, like, si llegas con tu familia, like, hey, we want to have $40,000.
Yeah.
You know, like, where did you get it from?
Yeah. And so, in court, we get a little bit more details about what happened. And so when he made it inside the Savopoulos house, he first restrained Philip and Vera. and then Amy when she returned home from getting coffee.
And honestly, it's kind of a known how it is that he came inside. Like, there was no forced entry, or like at least any signs of it. And like, parece como que la familia no eran muy estrictos en, you know, ponerles el candado a las puertas, all that stuff. So it was just really unknown. Maybe it was just he found an open door, just went right through.
Yeah, like, no se sabe, a lo mejor, like, he knocked and then he went, made himself in, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? And so they concluded that Darren had no money, and that was the main reason for the crime. And they also looked into his internet search history, and they found things that he searched up, like how to beat a lie detector, and also best places to hide out.
And I'm just saying, people don't Google that for nothing, you know? Like, who sits there and thinks about that? During the trial, he said his half-brother lured him into the house for a painting and drywall job. And that later, his brother said that he needed help unloading the house of valuables. Like, ultimately, like, this dude was trying to blame his own brother.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the defense really, really tried saying that it was his brother and I think his half-brother that were responsible. But to be honest, the police never really had these two men in their radar. Like, they checked out.
Jordan Wallace was also looked at. He had worked for them, you know, for the family for a few months. Y él también tenía, you know, quite a bit of responsibilities. And he also had a lot of access to a lot of information. Él vivía en el mismo complejo de apartamentos as Darren, which was again near where the Savopoulos car was found and burned.
Mm-hmm. But nothing came out of that. No había ninguna conexión between Darren and Jordan.
But, you know, he was, you know, still kind of in the radar because he kind of lied. He said that Savas texted him the 14th and that he saw the CFO put the money in the envelope. And, you know, then he said that he tried to text him on the 13th and then that the car was locked. So
I think it was like little things, you know, like mixing up the days between the 13th and the 14th and whether the car was locked or not. Like, how did he put in the money? So little things like that. And, I mean, it's good that they looked at him, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, it checked out.
Yeah. And so on February 2019, which is actually pretty recent, Darren was sentenced to life in prison without parole. You know, people still speculate that this crime was done by more than one person, which, you know, probably could be a possibility because, like, you do have a whole family in there. You do have the breaking in. You do have the keeping them hostage, you know, like, ¿cómo una persona iba a tomar todo ese control? Mm-hmm. Like, how did they not overrun, but, you know, like, how did they not take control over again, you know?
Yeah, it's like, who knows? Like, maybe this person had weapons. Like, maybe Darren had a weapon. Yeah. But, like, it's hard to think that it was only one person, maybe, because it's like one versus three adults.
Yeah.
But who knows, you know, when someone...
Y también, pues, mucha manipulación. Like, si tenían al niño en otro cuarto y le está pidiendo dinero, you know, like, I can easily see him being like, hey, yo, give me this money, or if not, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I have your child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Savopoulos family, which includes Savas, Amy, and Philip, and their housekeeper, Vera, were held captive for almost 19 hours and then murdered in Washington, D.C. in 2015.
Honestly, that's, like, I don't know, pretty scary. Porque yo siempre digo, like, if someone kidnaps you or, like, if someone, you know, is holding you captive, like, try to call the police, you know, and this and that. But at the same time, it's like, if someone has all this control over you, like, how can you call the police?
Yeah, it's hard.
You know? And it's like, out of everything that's happening in a day, how is, like, the police department going to know that in this specific mansion, these people are going through this, you know? But yeah, it's really sad. I am glad, though, that they were able to find the person responsible super quick. You know, like, it seemed like they lost no time. It could have been because this is from a wealthy neighborhood. But either way, you know, they deserve justice. And that person had very malicious intentions. So.
Yeah, definitely agree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was a heavy case. it involves multiple people, mm-hmm. People that, you know, didn't deserve that.
An innocent family.
Mm-hmm. So thank you to the person that requested this case.
Yeah, thanks again. And, you know, again, now, you know, we have our little spreadsheet with our requests. So if you have any case that you would like for us to talk about, feel free to DM us on Instagram, which is just at Cuento Crimen Podcast, or on Twitter, which is just at Cuento Crimen Pod. You all know that we're always on there replying to messages. We always appreciate them. And yeah, and also, like, just a quick reminder, we do have some stickers, con nuestros dichos. We have, of course, our Uno Nunca Sabe. We have our Caras Vemos, Corazones No Sabemos. And we have Cada Cabeza Es Un Mundo. So feel free to check those out in our website, which we hardly ever promote, but it's there. And it's, you know, again, just at cuentocrimenpodcast.com. Very straightforward.
Yeah.
And yeah, and also, like, you know, not that we're, like, forcing y'all, but if you do have some free minutes, we would appreciate reviews. It is what helps the show grow the most. So, yeah.
Yeah, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. And also thanks to everyone who, you know, showed support at the giveaway.
Yeah.
shout out to the winner. And yeah, just thank you all so much for the continuous support. We appreciate it so, so, so much. And we will see you all next week.